Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound, the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks to everybody who's checking out this episode. Thank you to all who subscribe to the series, who check us out multiple times a week. If you're not a subscriber, you like this kind of thing, you can find us at all the major podcast hotspots, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with your favorite artists like Jefferson Starship. You can discover some new ones, know what's happening in the music world. We put out new interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so there's plenty to keep up with. Just hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. From. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today I'm going to be talking with David Freiberg, one of the members of Jefferson Starship. Of course, he was also in Jefferson Airplane, kind of ducked out before the Starship thing happened in the 80s, reunited with the Jefferson Starship these days on tour, and he's got a lot of stuff going on. We're going to begin with the 45th anniversary of Red Octopus. It was Jefferson Starship's sophomore record, which ended up having a really big hit on it, a little song called Miracle. And not only will we be talking about the album, but we will get into that track as well. And the variation that you hear all over that record. There are country bluegrass jams and rock songs and little ballads. And there's a reason for that with so many members, as David's going to tell you. One of the tracks that he penned the music for, Tumblin', we'll also hear a little bit of the backstory on that. And because of having so many members in a band like that, especially coming and going, what kind of environment is that? Is it a family environment, as most bands will tell you about? And then beyond the anniversary of Red Octopus, we're also going to get the scoop on a brand new album. This is the first LP from Jefferson Starship since 2008. It's going to be called Mother of the Sun. He tells us about the first couple of singles, especially with It's About Time, actually written by Grace Slick herself. There's another one that's a tribute to Paul Kantner called What Are We Waiting For? We're going to hear about both of those and so much more. So let's jump into it again, beginning with the 45th anniversary of Red Octopus. It's Kyle Meredith with David Freiberg of Jefferson Starship.
Hey, Kyle. David Freiberg.
Red Octopus. It is the 45th anniversary of a pretty fantastic, legendary little album here. You know, the thing that jumps out to me when I first go back and listen to this, though, is how versatile in all the styles that you all were doing at that time. I know I'm not the first person to say that. I think that's one of the strong points of this record. Was that just a product of you all having so many members and so many writers, or where did that come from?
Having so many members was pretty good. I mean, after all, I mean, Papa John Creech and Pete Sears and Paul and Grace and Craig Tequiso. And then Marty Balin comes back full time for this album when he was only sang on one song on the first album. And he's really back with us. It really felt like a whole new thing, and there was a lot of energy in the band. Everybody was writing with each other. Yeah, and so it was like that.
I think I did read something that said it was a record that was supposed to be more commercial, like purposefully commercial sounding. Is that how you remember it?
I don't remember it quite that way. But, well, I guess we were there were factions in the band that would that really wanted to have some hits, I guess, and nobody would object to that, of course. Yes, but I mean, okay, so then how about Pete's instrumental? What was that?
Get Fiddler is basically a country jam in on itself, and there were two instrumentals on the record, yeah. But you did end up with, you know, a very, very big hit, obviously, with Miracles. There's an interview from a few years ago, I guess Marty was remembering. He'd said that when he first introduced that song to everybody, it was, you know, met with complete resistance, that everybody thought it was too weird. I was going to see if that's how you remember that as well.
I remember remarks about how long it was, because it has two full verses each time before it does a chorus, but once we got into actually playing it, you know, it just kept getting better and better and better until the actually the day we got into the studio to do it was kind of when it all fell magically, plunk, plunk, plunk. Oh, here it is. And it was an amazingly wonderful session. I can't remember a better recording session done with a Jefferson band, other than a couple that we just did with the Jefferson Starship today. But we had some really good sessions with that. But you know how it all just, whoa, everybody seemed to play exactly the right thing.
Yeah, were you surprised when it took off like it did, that single?
I was surprised they could get a single out of it. That was one of the most amazing editing jobs I ever heard. To cut a 7.5-minute song down to 3.5, that's pretty good. with razor blades even, yeah.
Right. Oh, God, the razor blades and the cuts on the jeans.
Right.
And,
we didn't have any Pro Tools back then, no.
You know, I came into the business like right after that, right after the razor blades kind of left is when I came in. So I hear about that. And it's just, as someone who didn't get to experience that, you know, the closest I come of, you know, pencils and cassettes in the 80s and stuff like that. But what an amazing way to kind of have to take a song apart. It's just mind blowing to me.
Yeah, it actually was. It was a beautiful job. And that was, yeah.
I should also hit on Tumblin, because this was your music. The reason why I bring that up, as it's credited anyway,
yeah,
specifically to you. What do you remember about that song? I feel like that's not one that gets talked about enough.
Well, there's something about the arrangement of it that just didn't quite gel, but I can still hear the song in there. You know, it was really nice. Well, I had the changes, and I had written a few songs with Robert Hunter, the lyricist for the Grateful Dead, previously on the last few albums we've made, and he came up with some, and I wasn't quite satisfied with it, and I brought it to Marty, and Marty said, this could be really good. Do you mind if I mess with it a little bit? And I said, oh, please, because, you know, go ahead. You know, because when Marty came back full time, I figured, well, man, if I'm going to write a song, I'm going to see if I can get Marty to sing it, because that's and he did a really good job of bringing it around. And when I listen to it now, I'm thinking about singing it again now.
Bringing it back.
But anybody will remember it.
I don't know. You sold a lot of copies of that record. I'm sure there's going to be some people out there who's going to remember that one.
Yeah, and I mean, there's the whole. I mean, having a bluegrass instrumental and Sandolphin was that's kind of great prog rock. I mean, that was that was a real tough one to play. I mean, you know, but that was a thing too. And then Paul had a couple of good songs on this thing too.
I mean, I know we brought that up, Get Fiddler. I, that seems like that's a song that's just obviously made for a live show. I mean, you know, there have been many bands who have made careers off of songs like that as far as live career goes, but it is interesting even listening to that and trying to think through the context of that song when it was created, when it came out, because it wasn't until that time, in the middle of the 70s, really, when country and rock in earnest really became bedfellows. And I'm trying not to paint over, you know, what the Birds had done at the end of the 60s or anything like that, but it seems like that was just the kind of perfect time for something like that,
together,
like a song like that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's true. But anyway, but this went along with what'd been going on when Papa John joined Jefferson Airplane. He'd have an instrumental on pretty much each album, or where he would write a song with Grace or, you know, but he'd have a song. So this is just Papa John's song. And I don't know, it turned out to be a bluegrass song. So it was cool.
It's also said that the show that you guys did in Central Park ahead of the album release was ended up being kind of paramount to its success as well. I was just going to see what you remembered about that show.
The crowd kind of messed up a baseball. I think there was some damage by people climbing on things. I think we had to pay for the damages or something.
That's a loss. That's not a win. That's a loss of money.
Well, you know, you're not going to make money playing a free gig in the park.
Yeah, that's true.
I tried to get the record company to pay for it. But of course, you got to realize that the record company's never really paid for anything. Comes out of your own pocket. You might advance it.
But it, I don't know. It, I guess it just seems like it was the perfect record at the perfect time. Like
it was, you know, kind of when we got to the studio, that little organ lick for Miracles showed up that night. I mean, I played it that night. I was messing around while we were getting the sounds, while everybody was, we were getting drum sounds, and we played through it. And all of a sudden, I just played that little thing at the beginning. And somebody said, "Hey, can you play that again?" I said, "Hell yes, I can play that 100 times." And so I went ahead and did.
The greatest riffs are always the ones that's sort of off the cuff in that way, it seems like.
Yeah, that's the things that just come, all of a sudden it's, oh yeah, that just all just kind of fits right in, and my hand is doing it, look at it. That whole session was fun.
I'd also wonder about, you know, the state of the band. It's a long story. The revolving door of members in and out, the three different incarnations of the band, and especially even leading up to that point, it always did seem to be a band in flux. When a lot of artists talk about their bands, it's always in the sense of a family. Was there ever a family environment in that way with you all?
Yeah, several families. I'm kidding. I would say that at this point that it really felt like a family here. But by the time we got to a couple more albums down the road, it felt like the family was pulling different directions. And so, you know, you have problems with families, apparently, especially big ones.
Very big ones. Very big families.
Right now, Jefferson Starship that we're playing in now, I mean, this feels more like a family than any band I've ever played in.
Of course, says a lot. I mean, that says so much about what you're doing. And I can, you know, we can pull this into the present right now. I mean, obviously, pandemics aside, does Jefferson just live on as the touring act at this point? I mean, you know, just allowing for messing around with, you know, playlists and pulling in old songs here and there? Is that sort of the continuing future of the band?
Well, actually, we have a new one coming out. I guess it's actually going to be start coming out next month. But yes, called Mother of the Sun, S-U-N.
Yeah, what brought the song? What can you tell me about it?
Well, this band is the band that was playing when Paul passed away. And his family really wanted us to continue. And Grace thought it was a good idea. And since she had the power, she said, I'll license you guys to do it. And so we said, well, we'd love to, because we had just completely gelled over like since these five people ended up with Paul. And we were it's very symbiotic. We would have some, you know, everybody is listening to everybody all the time, and everybody can't wait to get back together, which is kind of really unusual. And it's still that way. We're going nuts because Kathy Richardson, the fantastic lead singer, lives in Chicago, and Jude Gold, the guitar player, lives in Los Angeles, and Chris Smith, the keyboard player, and I live in Marin County, and Donnie Baldwin lives up in the foothills of the Sierras. And so, you know, so now we're stuck here. And so we've been making little videos, which are just about to come out, being sequestered, and, you know, each of us doing our parts and videoing us playing them and then putting them all together in a video. So you'll see a few of those coming up too, in addition to the new record. But
that's definitely exciting news. Maybe it's probably just coincidence. It's probably coincidence of timing, but it is interesting given what, and I'll go all the way back to Jefferson Airplane, what they meant at a time in America. Maybe you see where I'm going with this. You know, that was so topical about what was going on globally for, you know, a version of this with Jefferson Starship to come back. I would have to wonder, are you writing about the things that we're seeing out there in the way that you all had in the past?
We actually completed all these tunes before the pandemic came along. But they're very predictive, and they're very with current events. Yes. However, it won't mention the pandemic because it wasn't here when we finished it. But actually, Grace and Jude and Kathy wrote one song because we have some lyrics from Grace on this one's called "It's About Time," which will probably be our first single, and it's about women. It's about time for women to run the world because look what's happened.
right.
And I, you know, that kind of fits. And the second one will be what was taken from something that Paul would always say. One of his sayings is, "What are we waiting for?" And so it was we all got together and just sat in the studio at my house and jammed and came up with pretty much the whole album's worth of tunes. So what are we waiting for is kind of, well, here we are supposed to be being able to take care of ourselves. What are we waiting for? Anyway, you'll see.
Yeah, I was talking with Jesse Colin Young recently, and you know, he had just done a new version of Get Together, which of course the Airplane had done before the Youngbloods. But it was kind of the conversation about, you know, these are the things that, you know, some artists have been singing about for over 50 years, and still we've got to keep singing about them. And
amen.
They might be great songs, but how frustrating, you know?
Yeah, we've known all along what to do. Therefore, what are we waiting for? You know what I mean?
Well, I'll look forward to listening to that. I mean, seriously, that's really exciting news, David. I can't wait to hear some of the stuff that's coming out. And again, you know, with the 45th anniversary of Red Octopus, it's a fantastic reason, as if anyone needed one, but to go revisit that one, because there's so many little gems and twists and turns all throughout that record. It's really a fun listen that's held up, you know, completely well.
Oh, as a matter of fact, one of the little tunes we recorded individually and then put together in a video is Miracles, actually.
Oh, cool. So that one's going to be out there too.
Which we turned on the face, but couldn't have Marty singing it. So you'll see, it's been turned around.
Well, I look forward to
it's
hearing
still
it.
Miracles.
Yeah. David, thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk today about this. It's such a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure.
All right, man. Take care out there. We'll see you around.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
My thanks, David Freiberg. 45th anniversary of Red Octopus, and looking forward to this brand new record called Mother of the Sun. So thanks to David. Thanks to you for listening. Again, before you get out of here, if you like what you heard, you're not already a subscriber, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you'd like to get your podcast from, probably wherever you're listening from right now, there is a subscribe button. We'll send a brand new interview to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so you can keep up with all of your favorite artists and discover some new ones. Know what's happening in the music world. After that, head to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. That's an hour full of song premieres and music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media hotspots at Kyle Meredith. Hope you follow and like along there as well. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Jen, and I love horror movies.
I'm Mikey. I'm dead inside, and I also love horror movies.
And we really like to torture our friend Todd because he hates horror movies.
That I do. And that's why they call me the horror virgin.
That's the only reason we call him that.
I'm not. No other reasons at all.
None at all. Whatever. So
every week, we take him through the encyclopedia of horror, the good, the bad, the ridiculously Jack Frosts.
And then we make fun of it more or less.
Or explain its deceptive feminism.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. That's my thing.
And I'm the funny one. Our episodes drop on Monday, so check us out.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.